Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We invite you to call right now at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or discuss the important issues in your life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Gosh, listening to our theme music, I just love that.
Yeah.
It's so powerful and energetic, and it just goes along with the message of the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ is alive.
Yeah.
I mean, this resurrection story is powerful, energetic. It changes us. It makes us different. It's moving us forward. That's
yes.
what it's all about. And that's why I love our theme music. Like I said, I think it really goes with what this ministry is all about. Today we're talking about the grace of God. Been talking about the grace of God for this month, and we have a special offer: 12 Days of Simply Grace, a wonderful little devotional guide. Excerpted from my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that's coming out fairly soon. But we want to read a passage, 1 Corinthians 15:10 today. And I'm actually going to start in 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So Paul is making a statement in response, or kind of on the coattails of his laying out the gospel message, the fact that Christ died according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead according to scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and then more to 500 people. Then he appeared to James, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So Paul says that Jesus Christ appeared to him, and he goes on, he says that now, Let's look at that for just a minute, because I'm the least of the apostles and don't deserve to be even called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, that's a big statement right there. Paul persecuted the church of God. He tells about that in several different places. The book of Philippians, he talks about that in Timothy. He talks about his past life before encountering Christ Jesus. And you would think, as the chief of sinners, that's what he called himself, that he would feel that he was beyond the reach of God, that he had crossed a line and that God's grace could not reach to him. But here in this statement, he proves just the opposite, that even as the chief of sinners, God's grace reached him and changed him. And this is what he said about it: but by the grace of God, I am what I am. The fact that Jesus Christ took a former persecutor of the church and made him the chief apostle to the Gentile world. Mm-hmm. You and I today know the gospel message because of the missionary work of the Apostle Paul some 2,000 years ago. The fact that he took it into places like the province of Galatia, to the city of Philippi, to Thessaloniki, to Athens, to Rome, and was wanting to go even into Spain. He started moving this message out from Jerusalem into the other parts of the world.
Yes.
And we know this gospel message because God worked mightily in him. It's an amazing thing. And that guy was once a persecutor of the church. You know, he would have hated us.
Yeah.
If we were there back in those days and proclaiming the name of Christ. But he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. So if you're listening today, and if you think you have put yourself in a position where you're beyond the reach of God's grace, look at Paul as an example. No matter what you've done, it's not worse than what Paul did in persecuting the church, blaspheming the name of God and the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet in that condition, Jesus met him face to face and saved him. And by his grace changed him, transformed him, and made him into an apostle to the Gentiles. Yeah. That's what grace can do in your life.
Absolutely. And it's done in all of our lives. And friends, if you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, some particular question concerning the grace of God or some other issue, if there's some particular issue that you're facing in life, maybe parent-child relationships, something at work, at school, somewhere, well, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to discuss it with you on this edition of Basic Gospel. The number, wide open, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC for short. And as I said, the lines are wide open. Well, guys, a question from Maria, who lives in Oceanside, New York, and listens on our great New York affiliate, WMCA. She says, my question is regarding the 10% tithe. I am so confused because some teachers say that we don't pay or don't go by the Old Testament. Others say we do. Is Malachi for us today? Is tithing a must? I'm so confused. Can you please help? That's from Maria in Oceanside, New York.
It's an excellent question, and it really gets to the subject matter that we were talking about today and have been talking about this whole month. Are we under the law, old covenant, or are we under grace, new covenant? It's a very important question. And when we answer that question, then questions like this about tithing can take, you know, we can see what the answer really is. So, Richard, does Malachi apply to us today? What was the prophet Malachi even addressing? What was his subject matter? And how has that changed now that we're in the new covenant?
Well, the immediate context that Malachi was speaking into was the situation where, you know, they weren't completely finished rebuilding Jerusalem after they had come back from the Babylonian captivity. And you know, they'd gotten the wall built, and then people got complacent and started, you know, building their own homes. And there was this hulk, empty hulk of a temple. And being under the Mosaic Covenant, they needed to get that temple up and functioning. And instead, they were building their own houses and, you know, paneling them and doing all this stuff and complaining to God that he didn't love them.
And this was primarily the priest, right?
The priests
were leading that charge.
Yes. Yes, just totally complacent, self-centered, selfish, and then blaming God for it. And Malachi is called to bring them back to the relationship with God that they're supposed to have. And so one of the signs of that relationship was tithe, because the priests didn't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Israel or in Judah. And so they needed to be cared for. They needed to have food and whatever money was necessary for them to do their thing. And the rest of the people were supposed to support them, and they weren't doing that. And if you'll notice, there's nothing in Malachi 3:10 that says bring the money. It says bring the tithe into the storehouse. They're supposed to take a tithe of the grain, for example, and of their flocks and all of this, so that the Levites can survive, and they weren't doing that. So God called them to do that. And he said, look, I've promised long before that if you do this, if you take care of that part of the tribes, then I'll take care of you. And that was part of the Mosaic Covenant. Well, it makes perfect sense in the context of Malachi, but the Mosaic Covenant is no longer in effect. Jesus fulfilled it. So now, instead of bringing, you know, sheep and goats and cows to church, we've tried to change it and say, well, you bring your money and we'll decide what to do with it. And it's unfortunate that we do that, because, you know, most ministers are afraid that if you take the tithe away from people, that they won't give anything. Well, what does Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians 8:9? He says the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and makes you aware of what you've been given. How can you not give? This grace of giving is more powerful than the requirement of tithe ever was, if we would let the Spirit do what he can do.
And usually when folks, you know, continue to put forth the tithe, they always put together with it a blessing or
a curse.
Or a curse. So if you bring in your tithe, if you bring 10%, if you give the 10%, then you can expect blessings from God. If you don't, then, you know, don't be surprised if, you know, instead of getting that raise, you get a pay cut.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if you have some type of financial reversal in your life.
Yes.
Don't be surprised if some other thing comes your way that's not so fun. So it's always you do this and God will do this, or if you don't do this, God is going to do something really bad,
yeah.
bad to you.
In other contexts in our country, if you do that with people, you're brought to trial under RICO statutes because it's protection money and extortion and that sort of thing. But in the church, we say, "Oh, this is holy," and you know, and why would we do that?
Right.
Why
so we have to realize that first, in Jesus Christ, we've already been given every spiritual blessing.
Everything.
Every spiritual blessing. As it says in 1 Peter or 2 Peter, we've been given everything that we need for life and godliness. That means everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. We've received the promised Holy Spirit. We have been made righteous. We have forgiveness. We have been justified. We have been reconciled. We have a new identity. We have the love of God poured out in our hearts. Everything that we need has already been given to us in Christ Jesus. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, we have every spiritual blessing. So it's not that we're going to get more blessed in giving. We've already been blessed. That's the grace of God. Now, that grace of God, as Paul said, works within us. It is not without effect. It's the grace of God that works in our hearts. To do what? Well, to love others, to forgive, to be reconciled to those that you've had strife with, all of those sort of things. Also to be generous, not only with your time, but with your resources. The grace of God works in you to do that. So we just need to trust God's transforming power. That's called grace, to do in us what he wants to do in us. And I guarantee you that as you grow in Christ, as you grow in grace, as you grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see a generosity growing inside of you where you want to reach out and help. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8:9, and if you want to know what the grace of giving is all about, those two chapters are the place to go, 2 Corinthians 8:9. He said that he found in the Macedonian Christians an eagerness to share in the work. So Paul wasn't knocking on their door saying, "Hey, I need help. Can you scrape up a few funds to help me along my missionary journey?" They were knocking on Paul's door saying, "How can we participate? What can we do to help you?" There was such an eagerness inside of them. What brought about that eagerness? What brought about that generosity? The grace of God.
Yes.
That's where we need to stay. That's where we need to land. That's where we need to stand. That's where we need to grow. And as we do, we're going to see a generous spirit growing inside of us.
Absolutely. Marie, I hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you, and you have provoked a wonderful discussion of this particular topic as we open today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. Open lines, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock. Plenty of time for you to pose your question. Folks, I just want to remind you that when you give to and through Basic Gospel, you are touching lives. You're making a difference for people who may be struggling, mired in the mundane grind of everyday life. People who are beaten down with family issues, parent-child relationships, as we said earlier. People who are shackled in the bondage of religion, Christian or otherwise. So when you give to and through Basic Gospel, you are touching lives. You are making a difference. And the opportunity to join with us is ever present. So we ask you to join with us today. Make your most generous gift if you can. Let's continue broadcasting this message of hope and the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Click the donate link at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-41-BASIC. And remember, with your gift this month, you'll receive a copy of our new devotional guide, 12 Days of Simply Grace. Again, that's 844-412-2742 or click donate at basicgospel.net. Another question, guys, is kind of short and sweet from Christopher. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit?
What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? I think that's another phrase that Paul uses to really describe what it means to walk by faith. And I think the key chapter that describes that is Galatians chapter 5. Paul is saying, if you will walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But what are some practical handles that we can offer today that, people can grab and really apply that and really kind of know in practical terms what that means?
There is a way of living your life that is either mystical or practical. And we err on the side of mysticism way too often. Ooh, walking in the Spirit, you know, and you have to say it just a certain way. But the Spirit is the most practical being in the universe. The Spirit is about one thing, bringing people to Jesus. And if you've come to Jesus and the Spirit is now in you, because that's what he does as soon as you accept Jesus, now he is working to renew your mind, to teach you how to think differently, to think about situations differently, to think about your job differently, to think about church differently, about your family differently. And now, for the first time in your life, as a child of God, you have a true choice. Can I listen to the Spirit and let love and joy and peace and patience and all of that sort of thing flow through me in this given situation? Or do I trust my own fear and try to control the situation, for example? The whole thing is about taking my eyes off of whatever it is that's going around me, which causes me to want to control things, and to put my eyes on Jesus and let the Spirit control me, and you take a step. And if it's the right step, the Spirit says, yeah, that was the right step. And if it was the wrong step, the Spirit doesn't then hit you with a 2x4. The Spirit says, well, what did we learn? Maybe next time we'll take a better step. And it's constantly working through your life, working through choices about where to go and what to do and how to live from a position of strength. Because we have, like we just said, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness, and the Spirit is teaching us how to recognize that. Yeah. So something comes up, you make a decision and you move forward. And the Spirit is there with you, and you say, was that the right thing? And he says, well, how is it going? Has it drawn you closer to God? Has it drawn you closer to Jesus or not? If it has, great job. If it hasn't, what can we learn from this?
Yeah. So it's a very, very practical thing. And I think the big point, the operative phrase there at the end was the fact that the Spirit is alive, living in us. So it's not something that we're trying to pull down from heavens or that sort of thing. God has already condescended to us and has given us the promised Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is alive, living in us. That's good news. And the Holy Spirit is doing something inside of us, as you mentioned, the renewing of the mind. And I think one of the things as far as walking in the Spirit, it's walking in truth. The Spirit is our counselor. He's the one that guides us into all truth. Truth about what? Truth about the very nature of God, who he is, the very nature of Jesus Christ, who he is, and the truth about the grace that they've poured out inside of us. So oftentimes we struggle with forgiveness. You know, we feel guilty, we feel shameful, we feel fearful, all of those sort of things. We're walking on eggshells as far as our relationship with God is concerned. Well, God's Spirit is teaching us something different, that guilt has been taken away. Jesus shed blood, and so he's encouraging us to really believe that, to really trust that, to really rest in that. And when we do, I think we see an attitude of gratefulness, don't we?
Yes.
We see this thankfulness pouring out of our hearts. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died to take away that sin. And that's part of the Spirit's job, is to enable us to walk in truth. And it's, as I said, it's very practical. It's the most practical aspect of the Christian faith. It's why we celebrated Pentecost.
Yes.
The giving of God's Spirit, so that we could genuinely walk in the Spirit. We also know that God's Spirit puts God's desires inside of us. So if we have a desire to be generous with our money to help ministries like Basic Gospel or your local church fellowship or some other ministry that is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, if there's a spirit of generosity there, guess who's put it there?
Yeah, it wasn't me.
That's right. The Spirit of God. So we you know, to walk in the Spirit is to give our money, is to keep in step with what God is doing. Maybe, you know, somebody has wronged you. And so forgiveness is required. Well, your flesh doesn't want to forgive. Your flesh wants to get even. That's the desire of the flesh. But the desire of the Spirit, it says to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. And the Spirit works that desire where your heart aligns with it so that you can genuinely extend forgiveness. A lot of times we have this idea, you know, the Christ in me forgives you. You know, I don't, but the Christ in me. Well, Christ didn't need to come and to live inside of me to forgive you. He's already done that.
Yes.
Christ needed to come and live inside of me so that my heart can genuinely extend forgiveness to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what God's Spirit does, to will and to act of his good pleasure. Yeah. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Glad you asked the question, Christopher, and we have a little time on the clock. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go to Plano and talk to Michael listening to us on the Word. Hi, Michael.
Plano, Texas.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
Good and bad.
Well, how can we help?
So, my basic problem that I'm struggling with right now is I recently went through a divorce that wasn't of my own choosing. I didn't want that to be the way that it goes. And I've been struggling with trying to find a way to heal through that in a good way so that I can have God as the right priority in my life, but also be able to find a way to heal from what happened there to and do it in the right way before I eventually get ready to step out there and try to find somebody else.
Well, Michael, I think that's wise thinking on your part. And the Lord can heal your heart, and he knows the pain that you're going through. And as you recognize that, as you realize that the Lord is sympathetic, and he's actually empathetic with you, and he knows really what you're feeling, that's when you can learn to trust him and really can see some healing take place in your heart. Michael, have you come to know Jesus personally? Have you been made alive in him and know him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And that has gotten stronger through this.
Yeah.
for a time when I was struggling in my marriage, the concerns about the marriage made it more difficult to focus on my relationship with God at all.
Well,
sort of classifying it as, well, in my mind at the time, that God was always going to be there, so I had been more worried about what I seemed to be losing at the time, and that was so clearly not the way to go.
Well, Michael, what I'm going to do, we're almost out of time. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to send you a copy of a book called Love Is, and it's just going to talk to you about how God is loving you right now and how you can find comfort in the midst of your pain right now. And I think it'll be a great resource to you to help you along that journey. And so let me do that. Let me put you on hold, and we will get a copy of that book to you. I certainly appreciate you picking up the phone and calling today and yes, expressing your deal of what's going on. And I'm grateful to say that the Lord does have some answers for you, and we want to walk with you through this journey. Okay, my friend? You hang on.
Thanks, Michael. We invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website at basicgospel.net. We'd love to keep you informed as to what's going on with the ministry. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.